What does the scripture say? There's a verse in the scripture, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Say, train up a child in the way he should go. That way, when he's old, he will not depart from it. There's a reason for that. Where there is void of divine wisdom, oh, definitely mistakes will be made. We will make false choices. So we can segue from what the scripture said about train your child and it will give you peace of mind. To train your mind and it will definitely give you peace of mind. We take away all the other things that, because the mind is unruly. We all know that. Even things you will never think you will think of. Others might be thinking of it. Why does it have to be yours? But it will come to your mind. You will not even know where it's coming from. But when you train the mind, and that is why meditation or rituals or ceremony or prayer, they are very effective. So the unruly mind can be trained to discern, to have that discernment, because the wisdom of God is always present in us. Now there is a saying that talks, it says, may your wisdom save me from false choices. Because only that divine wisdom, you can't buy it. You can't give something in return for it. It is God giving through God's grace. It's part of the Spirit of God. And every one of us, we have the door that leads to that wisdom. May your wisdom save me from false choices. And the story I'm going to give tonight will illustrate that. But if you want to know the whole concept of that expression, this is how it goes. You are my strength and my shield. Who do you think we're talking about? We're not talking about humans or even angels. No. You can only say that about the Creator, because the box stops there. There's no other power other than the universal Creator. You are my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you. You cannot say you trust something if you don't even know it exists. But once you know it exists, then, because trust is earned, it's not given. So if you don't think God exists, God is capable, God is all, then, if you say, oh Lord, I trust you, that's falsehood. In your straight path, may I not stumble. When wisdom is reigning, there is no way here on earth or in the heaven or in hell, if there's anything like that, that you will stumble. Because the way of wisdom is the way of goodness. It will lead you through ups and downs, whatever the challenges. And it will bring you to a place of peace and joy. So if we want to read that whole thing, it says, you are my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you. May your wisdom save me from false choices. In your straight path, may I not stumble. Isn't that sweet? Now I'm going to segue to what the Buddhist says. It's a Buddhist thing. And we're all familiar with some of these things, but I will illustrate the concept. Hurry, you know, when we're hurrying, hurry kills presence. Worry kills peace. Doubt kills faith. And ego kills love. We know we cannot be present when we're in a hurry. And in order to enjoy life, we need to be present every second before we go to the next second. Actually, it's not every second, every nanosecond. And when we feel we worry, there is no peace. Even if they try to negotiate it, how are you going to know when you are so filled with worries? We've all encountered that. But then we all want peace because peace brings stability. And it is in that you can actually use your gift, your talent. You can know your worth. Then you will know that, oh, it's not the external thing that determines, that reflects my worth. It's what is within me. And peace is inside, isn't it? It's not outside of us. Doubt kills faith. Let's not even relate doubt to God. If you are not sure of the answer to the question in a math problem, you start having doubt. We've just done Thanksgiving, isn't it? For those who love to eat turkey. If you don't know how to cook turkey, how to roast it, well, you don't want Selena and all of that, isn't it? But if we have faith in our talents, in our gifts, oh, even the way we carry ourselves shifts, isn't it? It's different. That's what they say, you know your stuff, so you strut your stuff. And we all have egos. Maybe all of you would deny you don't have egos, but I know I'm still working on mine. Ego kills love. Because when we're so full of it, we will not even see what is in front of us. Someone may love us dearly, but for whatever reason, maybe that person can't give us what we want now. You've seen with kids and their parents. I want the mom said, no, you're not going to have it. Well, you don't love me, or you are evil, or whatever it is. That's ego making us throw tantrums. It's ego that makes us think we are better than the other person. It's ego that leads us into judging others. And ego has been responsible for all kinds of things because it's devoid of wisdom. You want to know where wisdom is parked? Is in love. So ego kills love. Now let's turn it around. The same word we use, hurry kills presence, worry kills peace, doubt kills faith, ego kills love. Then let's turn it around. Let's read it from right here. Presence kills hurry, isn't it? When you are fully present, there's no need for you to be hurrying or hustling. Peace kills worry. When you are peaceful, you know you're not going to be worrying about anything, isn't it? Isn't that sweet? Huh? Faith kills doubt. When you have that faith, you're not going to be doubting yourself that you are good enough. You know your stuff. You know the child of who you are, the child of the immortal creator. Everything dies, but you don't, because the creator doesn't die. You are the child of the headless one. And love kills ego. Because that's where wisdom is. When you love wholeheartedly, because that's why we meditate, that's why we do all these things. Then you don't think you are better than somebody because of your gender, your race, your money, or whatever. And on the spiritual part, it's very common. Just because we can meditate for an hour, maybe we see things. You think you are better than the rookie, okay? And the rookie might actually be the one who's going to expand things. And then you want people to do things your way. They have the right because the Spirit of God, that wisdom in you, is in them. Let them do what they have been guided to. Isn't that why some of us, we are running away from all this organized religion? And they keep saying, you know, they are dwindling. Yeah, because people, they don't have the freedom. God didn't kill over and make any of us the queen and kings of the heavens and say, this is the way you should guide all the children. So when we have love, we have faith, we have peace, we have presence, there's wisdom in all of us. We will not make false choices. Now, the wonderful story. None of you might think these stories are wonderful. But if you look from the perspective of wisdom, that we don't make false choices, you will see why it's important, why they are wonderful to teach us. A young man, and you could substitute yourself, a young woman, from the word go, was pampered by his wealthy father. Whatever he wants, he gets. And he's in his senior year, he's now graduating, you know, maybe not right this night, maybe next week, he's graduating from school. Few weeks before his graduation, you know how young people are, they go around. He saw a very beautiful sports car in the showroom and wanted that car for as a graduation gift for himself. Well, I didn't have a father that could give me that, but he gave me more spiritual things that are better than, you know. The day he saw that car in the showroom, before going home, he did his homework. He went in there, he found out what the price and all of that and all of that. Took the details from the dealer. Then he made it known to his father. You know how sometimes we come and we start talking about the same story that he would like to have that for his graduation. And he was really excited because he had hopes that his father, it wasn't just hope, he had faith. He was expecting his father to give him that car. Why? Because whatever he asks the father, he always gets. So graduation day came, his father called him into his father's study and asked him to sit down. The father got up and brought a beautifully wrapped gift. Father gave that gift to him, telling him how proud he was to have such a fine boy, son, and how much he loved him. The young man very happily opened up the box, hoping to see sports car key inside it, but what he got was a book. He got very disappointed and angrily, was very angry to just see a book and not keys for the sports car. In anger, he raised his voice and said to his father, "With all your money, this is what you got me." And stormed out of the house, leaving the book behind. How many times have we done that to God when we don't even know the whole story? And if the wisdom is there, we will be patient. We will be present. Remember, we're saying hurry doesn't, you know, is against presence. So the young man got so very angry that he left his father's house without even waiting for his father's response and decided never to come back. Well, sometimes that's how we do. We come here, we forget we have a beautiful home we came from and all of that. And we wanted to stay here forever, as if anyone ever lived here forever. So many years passed, and the young man became a successful businessman, just like his father. He hadn't seen his father since graduation day. So one day he received, now maybe an email, because they don't do telegram anymore. About his father, that his father has passed away, and that the father willed all his possession to him, for which he needed to come home and take care of things left behind by his father. When he arrived at his father's house, he felt sadness and regret filled his heart. He went to the study where he last spoke with his father. There he began to look for things, to sell that, things that reminded him of his father. In one of the drawers, he found the same book which his father had given him on graduation day. All his memories came back, flashing in front of him. He sat down on the same chair, and with tears rolling down his face, he opened the book and began to turn the pages. After turning a few pages, he found a hole in the middle of the book with the car key in it, with tag on it. On the tag, it says, "With love for my precious son, who made me so proud." Do we get this? Do you see the false choice that kid made? And because of that, and regrets have a lot of companions. I'm sure there are so many times we've regretted things. But regrets doesn't bring peace of mind or happiness or that. So whenever we prejudge things or people because they are not packed as we expect them to be due to the false choices, may we always ask for that wisdom. And may we always be patient. May we always have faith. Can that child take back all those? No. And if he had just let the father finish talking that day, you would have realized that the key was in there. So let us be patient, because wisdom is the mother of patience. Let us be patient, knowing that God, who is always ever giving, that divine mother, always giving us, always there for us. It doesn't matter what life challenges come. And then we will have no regrets. It will be sweet home, sweet home. The last story of the night. Maybe some of you never did this, but I remember I had to wake up from this falsehood. There goes, mothers make all kinds of sacrifices for us, don't they? Where's this mother raising this kid? They were poor, and the mother could just earn a little to manage their needs, to give them, make them. The mother had one eye. And because of that, the kid used to feel embarrassed by it. So one day, the mother went to school, to the kids' school. And when we're children, when we're younger, we do foolish things. So the kids in school, they laughed at the boy and taunted at the mother for having only one eye. Because of this, the kid started resenting her mom for having one eye. Felt that the mother's presence just embarrassed him to her head. And he doesn't want to live with her. So he made up his mind that he will study hard and then he will leave his mom. So he completed his studies with good grades, landed a good job in another city. He left his mother and got settled in. Life smiled on him. He was successful. He bought a big house. He got married. He had kids. He was living a happy, successful life. In his home, he had nothing to remind him of his mom and the shame he felt because the mom had single eye. So one day the mother came to see him. When the kids, his own kids, saw her, he felt scared and went to him. You know, children do that because this is a stranger. When he came to see who was at the door, he found that it was his mother. Seeing her, he pretended like he doesn't know her. Said, "Who are you? How dare you come to my house?" Mother understood that her son didn't want to see her and quietly answered, "Oh, I am so sorry. I may have gotten the wrong address." Then she just left. Then one day, as God will have it, the kid got a letter from his school about reunion. So after he came to the town, for reunion, he went to his old house where his mother used to live. When he entered there, he saw that his mother was lying on the floor, lifeless, with a piece of paper in her hand. It was a letter to his son. That's why I told all of you earlier, this, by the way, you might not think these are, sweet stories. So this is what she wrote to her son. "My son, I think my life has been long enough now, and I won't be able to visit you anymore." She's getting older. "But wouldn't it be too much to ask if I wanted you to come visit me once in a while? Would it not be nice for you to visit me once in a while? I miss you so much. And I was so glad when I heard you were coming for the reunion. But I decided not to go to the school for you because I know how embarrassed you are. I'm sorry that I only have one eye and I was an embarrassment to you. You see, when you were very little, you got into an accident and lost your eye. As a mother, I couldn't stand watching you having to grow up with only one eye. So I gave you mine. I was so proud of my son that was seen that you can see the whole world. In my place with the eye. I was never upset at you for anything you did. I miss you so much. I love you. You mean the world to me." Now we see the wrong choices that son made. He did not know that the mother wasn't born with one eye. The mother made a sacrifice for him. But if he knew the whole story, I don't think he would have treated the mother like that. Wherever there is wisdom, we will not make false choices. What causes our pain and all of that is the tragedy and the darkness of ignorance. Because what that kid did to the mom, we do it to God. We forgot God gave us that breath of life and everything. Sometimes we still feel embarrassed about God. Well, what have you done for me lately? And this. Or we don't want people to know we meditate. We want to be like the Joneses. We don't want them to know, oh, we know spiritual stuff. Because they might not understand it. And so because of that, we're not the one who sustain everything. And God is like that mom. When we don't want God, God, okay, I won't bother you, but I'm always here. But that doesn't stop God from blessing us. So wherever we find ourselves, whatever situation in life, may we always say this, may your wisdom save me from false choices. You are my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you. May your wisdom save me from false choices. In your straight path, may I not stumble. May the divine love bless us that we will not make false choices and we will live in that wisdom. Amen.
Amen.